So we left, my voice is not doing so well this morning. We left off at the Gemara. The Gemara answered that the Mishnah, which has two marriages with both husbands alive, and he's a Kayan, is talking about Mamenas. The girl was married, rabbinically. She walked out of the marriage and within 3 months married somebody else, which she wasn't supposed to do. They had a baby, and we don't know who the baby's father is. Husband number one or husband number two, but they're both Kehanim, and there was no Zlus, and there's no Chalol. It was Mamenas. Frank the Gemara, Mamenas Mika Yoga. Does the Mamenas give birth? Mamenas is a Ktana. But honey, Rabbi Vibakamedur and Nachman, Shalushat, Moshe, Misham, Shizmimach, three women. I didn't identify where I was. I'm on Kufam and Bays, about 10 lines to the bottom. Three women are allowed to be mishamish with a moich using a material blockage that she shouldn't get pregnant. Tana, Mubaris, and Menika. Tana, a pregnant lady and a nursing lady. Tana, Shabbat, the Sabbath, the Tamas. She might get pregnant and die. Mubaris, Shabbat, the Tamas, the Ubal, the Tando. Her Ubal will become smashed. And Menika, Shabbat, the Tigmos, the Naviyamas. Might cause her to get pregnant and stop the milk flow, and the baby will die. They Tana, and then the Bryce explains who is Iktana. The Bas Echas Esri Shana V'Yem Echad Ad Bas Taim Shasri Shana V'Yem Echad. From 11 to 12. Pachas Mikan Yeshim Kan. Less than 11, she won't get pregnant. Over 12, it's safe for her to become pregnant. Mishamesh is Kedar Kivelecha, she would be Mishamesh with Adamach, Nibir Ameir. The Chachamim Amrim, Achazu V'Achazu, Mishamesh is Kedar Kivelecha. We don't allow a woman to use a mic. She should act normally. Shemayim Yirachmu. And she doesn't have to worry about the consequences. Shemayim Hashem Ribsalem Hashem. You do what everybody does and you're safe. Shemayim Ribsalem Hashem is that if the population does something, it's safer. If everybody does it, Hashem watches fools.
So they're fools then?
Meaning, they are fools in the sense that they should think about these things, but they don't. So the male don't worry about it. So the answer to the question back is, here is this girl having a baby, if she's a mamamenes, if she's sure from the second husband. Because the first husband couldn't have been mamamenes, he wouldn't have been able to impregnate her, because she would have died. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, third line is wide line. Mutaris Lutenberg by Simokum, they're allowed to put a mark in their private area, so they shouldn't become pregnant. Shematas Uber Sandal, Uber Shani Dipi Kasarishan, the second Uber pushes the first one, Upaika says to Rasai, and ruins his form, the Mapelas. That's the Gemara Nidah. They think Tanishim Saberis and Mesa, the Batsud Aleph, Liam Nami, Batsud Gabez Viamecha Limamanis. Once she's 12, she can't be mamayit. And we come home, she's told her to be. And before that, it says, if she becomes pregnant, she dies. Less than 11, she doesn't get pregnant. Yaisar says, I'm mamayit lemesa. Over 12 is no problem. So we're back to the kasha.
So when did she walk out?
Well, that's our problem. She had to walk out before 12.
Right.
And if you have a doubt that she became pregnant from the first husband, that means she conceived before 12. And it says here that a woman that conceives before 12 dies. And for the Gemara, Mishkachas Lo V'Kedusha Tos for the Yehudim Rishmu. Again, we talked about this on Friday, and this is where we were up to. The Yehudim Rishmu says, we assume, based on many Gemaras, that once a person consummates the marriage, all conditions made prior to that are dropped. Because no one wants to live with a woman and then find out they're not married. So a person's planning to marry a woman and makes conditions, and then he consummates the marriage, we say he was Michael under conditions. Because Eina Demaisa Belasa Bilislos. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that's not true. Conditions remain in place. And it could be that a woman got married on condition, and they had a baby. And the baby can be 5, 6 years old. And now they find out that the condition was never met. That means it was an invalid condition. She wasn't Mezana. she was done legally, was done with kedushin. She walks out of the marriage. She can walk out without a divorce because the kedushin was never valid. But it was a legal way of living with a person. It happens to be retroactively became invalid. And she can be pregnant. So here is this lady who walked out of a marriage, a 14-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, walked out of a marriage because the tenai was not kept, got married within 2 months and had a baby, doesn't know who the father was, but knows nus was done. So therefore, this son is roy to be a klein gadol, because no matter who the father is, both of them are kahanim. That's not a problem. Our problem was because Shmuel told us that any baby done through snus cannot serve in the Beit HaMikdash. And this Mishnah said that, made a mistake in the test. This Mishnah says that if a woman has Yibum within 2 months, our Mishnah said a woman gets married within 2 months, right? He can be Eilu B'Mishmar, he can serve in the Mishmar. So the answer has to be there was a marriage. But if there was a marriage, how in the world are they both alive and he's not a cholol? Or suffered cholol? The answer is, they're both alive, she walked out of the marriage. But if she walked out of the marriage, she has to be under 12 and she can't live through a pregnancy. The answer is, she walked out of the marriage because the condition wasn't met. But that's only according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that even though a marriage is consummated, you can still walk out of the marriage. Now, Rabbi Shmuel says even if she has a baby, she can walk out of the marriage. Baruch Kleiman. Please send picture of testes in New York.
Did you make the correction, sir?
Yes. Okay, so that's the case. Let's read it inside. Review the Mishmul, don't review the Mishmul, Shem Rebbe Shmuel. Vila in the Spasa Asura, a woman who's a Mazana, not against her will, but also to her husband, willingly, on the Tvasa Mutaris, but if she was against her will, she's Mutar. The Yeshmuel HaKaris is another woman, Shava Bishla in the Spasa Mutaris. Even if she was Mazana willingly, she's Mutter. A woman get married with Mazana willingly and is not also to her husband. How? She was never married to him because the Kedushin the first husband did was done on condition. So here's a woman got married to Reuven with a condition. She was Mazana with Shimon. But then the condition with Reuven wasn't met, so now retroactively she was never married to Reuven. So she's not an ancient sister with Mazana. Even if she's carrying a baby on her shoulder, which means obviously the marriage was consummated, the man is all of it. So that would be the case in our Mishnah. A Kayan married a woman. She walked out of the marriage because of a tenai that wasn't kept. Got married within 2 months. Had a baby. We don't know who the father is. They're both Kayanim. He can work in the Beit HaMikdash. Because no znus was done here. Yes, it ended up retroactively being like a znus, but that's just, it happened that way, but it really was a legitimate way of doing things. They made a marriage on a condition.
And then they asked the Rav, the Chachila, can I marry her? What would the Rav say?
Why not?
Really?
Now, if you don't hold on to be small, the minute they consummate the marriage, it's a definite marriage. She can't walk out.
I'm talking about
going to be small. Why not? It's a marriage. They got married. It's legal. Don't try to do shit to us. I'll try. This is a try, but in this crime it wasn't kept. The Navkimi neighbor, when Gitish goes out without yet, but this is Vatel Gimel. She got married within 3 months, which Kakas was the Raya Misa Shreya. The son can see the death of both of them. The Kayan Kusher, who is the Kayan Kusher. The Vichayim Matama Laham, he can't be Matama. But he can go to Avaida. The Biznus Kai Gavna Avaida Nisu and the Gaza Rabbanim. Because in Biznus, in that case, which is through a Nisuan, the Rabbanim weren't Geyser. He, Miutahu, Vahi Kamra. He, claiming Isha Gemura, a wife that is not conditional, the Chilay Nensu Vesin Sasura. She's Mitzana willingly, and she's Asr. Yes, Vahiris, Abbishim in the Vilu Takas Baila Baratan. She was Mitzana. While she was married to her husband, she was Mizana willingly, Mutaris Labaila. She can stay married to the first guy. The Azizu, the one that the condition wasn't met, so she wasn't an Azizish. If she decides to marry him now, she can still marry him. She was not Mizana as an Azizish. But Lechus Labish, even though I'm not going to Labish to have it, she doesn't need to get, she's not his wife. Vizinsa, I keep Luisha Zinsa. His nut is a single woman being Mizana, Mutaris Labish. That's the Gemara Vayta.
Does she live with this guy? She can marry the second guy?
She can marry either first or second. Usually a woman's Mizana is also to her husband and to the guy who's living with. She's not an Asian sister that was Mizana. She's a single girl that was Mizana.
Son can serve.
Well, there's two cases here. Rabbi Shmuel is talking about the fact that she can stay married. She can marry either one of those two.
In the case that she married the second guy, within
3 months. But that's not the case of Rabbi Shmuel. We're borrowing Rabbi Shmuel's rule and applying it here. Rabbi Shmuel is talking about a woman that's married to Reuven, was Mizana with Shimon. The condition wasn't met, and now she wants to marry Reuven legitimately without condition. But she was Mizana when she was Reuven's wife. That's Rabbi Shmuel. She wasn't Reuven's wife. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Based on that you can have a marriage that terminates without a get, and without being called Nuss, we apply it to our Mishnah. This woman was married to Reuven. Condition wasn't met. She's not pregnant. Nothing. We don't know. She walked out. Married within 2 months. We don't know who fathered this child. Husband one, who ends up never being a husband. Or husband two. Why'd you send me a thing?
No, when Kleiman sent me something, he put everyone on it.
Was it Mazel Tov? Was it Mazel Tov?
Well, he's in New York, I thought maybe.
May do it, probably.
Oh, sure. So.
Maybe he's asking me.
Anyway, fine.
You saying you're
by the way, Rabbi Kleiman got to Mazel Tov, his angel who became a column.
He gave it this morning.
Anyway, yes, so,
applying it to this case.
So we're applying it to this case. We're taking his rule that says that a woman with a child can walk out. Here this woman doesn't have a child. All we want to see from here is that a woman, a person who consummates, the fact that the marriage was consummated doesn't make the marriage 100%. Hayishneim Kahanim. Mishnah said, Hayishneim Kahanim, to the Mishnah said, Hu anan alayin, right, Hu anan matamala. Tana Rabbanan. Rabbanan learned. Hakika is that, because the Mishnah said, Upatira makasri vakilulasai, shozeh vishozeh. That if this son hits either one of the two, he doesn't get punished, because we don't know who his father is. Tana Rabbanan, hikra zeh, v'chazeh v'hikra zeh. Hit one, then he hit the other. Kiwul zeh, he cursed one, v'chazeh v'kiwul zeh. Both of them are capital offenses. Kiwul shneim b'basachas, hikra shneim b'basachas. Or, he did two at a time. He took two hands and punched both, right, caused the wound. Or, he cursed them both in one line. Chayim yizchayim misa.
The parents cannot forgive
someone
like this.
What?
The parents cannot forgive.
No, they cannot forgive. I mean, again, the child has to be warned. He has to say he doesn't care. Now we never punish, right? So, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Bebasachas Chayev, Bebasachas Epatr. Rabbi Yehuda says, Bebasachas Yechayev, one after the other Epatr. And the difference, the machlokes here is, can you warn a guy and punish a guy mitzvah. Can you warn a guy that he might be doing an iser? The son goes to hit his first father, the first one, who might be his father. And two Adam see, and they say to him, you know, you might be Chayim Misa. He says, I don't care. 5 minutes later, he goes and wants to hit the second guy. And these two Adam tell him, listen, sir, you might be Chayim Misa for this. And he says, I don't care. Now, he definitely hit his father. He definitely wounded his father. We don't know which action was the wounding of the father. He was warned about both of them. And at the end of the day, he hit his father and wounded him.
Was not couched in uncertain terms. What if both times the Adam said, you, that this might be your father, this is your father?
But they don't know that. It's a wrong warning.
So they have to have knowledge, they have to have the certainty of their own.
Again, you can't warn a guy if it's not true.
But it's going to be true on one of those situations.
Again, so it's back to the fact that nobody, at least for the kid's sake, he was never told that this act, he might have been told, but it was wrong. He was never correctly told that the act that he's doing now is a definite issue.
But one of those two times, when he correct.
Yes, but each one is a suffix.
Why is he hiding?
Let me try to explain. Hasra, according to this, machlokes, can you warn a guy and say you might be doing an iser, and then warn him again 5 minutes later, and then at the end of the day he definitely did an iser with a warning, but the warning never said this act is a definite iser. It said it might be a definite iser, and the other one said it might be a definite iser. At the end of the day he did both, so he for sure did a definite iser. That's called Hashra Suffolk. The warning was, you might be violating an issue with this act. And that's not like this. One of the other says, that's good enough. He was warned. He was told, don't you dare do it. He did it anyway. At the end of the day, we know he did the Avera. It's Chayim Misa. The other one, the other says, no, the warning has to be directly on an action, that this is the action that will get the Chayim Misa. It's not true. It might be action one, it might be action two, we don't know. That's the machlokes. So that's the machlokes in this brayta. Hikus that, v'chazim hikus that. With two separate warnings. Kills that, v'chazim kills that. That's two separate warnings. The next case is he's doing them both at the same time. That's a definite warning. You're going to be hitting both at the same action, at the same time. The Adam can say, you're hitting your father. Kilush name b'basachas or hikush name b'basachas, right? Chayev. The Yudai b'basachas chayev. That's a definite warning. B'basachas epot. That's a strong subject. So our Mishnah, which says ve'ein chayev amakosav akalulasoi, is even if he did both of them, but if he did them consecutively, not simultaneously, it'd be a machloikas, right? Our Mishnah is saying you're not chayev. That means going like Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi. Dr. Rashi.
What's the longest to say? Is that the Takhmara is having Kama again? Is that for Zah? Still have Yisrael, right?
Right. He was warned twice.
The first time he was warned, what did the Adam say?
You might be hitting your father, you might be Chayim Misa.
So, but I might not, right?
You just said it.
Okay. So,
then he went to hit the second one.
At that moment, you can't. And everything a person. So, I mean, anytime you say something, it's not.
So far, I haven't understood what you're saying.
How could they be?
Because the bottom line is, he was warned twice and he did the definite answer.
When does it all come back together? The Mafreya?
Well, now at the end of the day, he hit his father.
At the time when I was told, it has to be Tochtit Deep. It has to be right before the action, right?
Well, if you hold
at that moment, I was not Chayim Misa, maybe.
Again. Our question is not whether you're Chayim Misa in the first one. It's the person Chayim Misa in the first one. The question is, was that warning an adequate warning? is the fact that he might be chayav misa enough to be considered to meet the requirement of the Torah that he was warned. Now, there are two problems here. If he hits only one, there's two problems. Number one, he wasn't warned definite. Two, he didn't do the iser definite.
Right.
Okay. In this case, he definitely did the iser. He either did it at 6 o'clock or at 6:04. But in that 5 minutes, he hit his father and wounded him. Each of the two times he was told that this might be chayav misa. So the action is there. The question is that considered an adequate warning? That's called a shayla of asura suffix. Does that meet the bar to be considered that he was warned? That's the shayla. Right? It's exerus hakasav that he needs warning. And then he has to say he doesn't care.
Maybe because his whole love this is to say is the reason why I say I don't care is I'm not so sure that I didn't do.
Again, this is the machlokes. Whether that's okay. Why do you need that swell?
The person should realize
he's doing
something wrong.
One reason, according to another man, the Amritz, because exams are custom, you have to have that swell. He was warned. He was warned that this might be Misa. That's pretty scary. It's a pretty scary warning. Again, at the end of the day, he did the iser definitely. He was warned.
Yeah, but the second time he might have done it already, so this guy might not be his father.
I mean, I hate to say this.
Somebody is over something that they're five meters on without mussar. They're almost it's like five meters of bedeshim behind the
car. We're trying to figure out for best. We're not interested in nature. My Rabbi Shalom runs his own affairs. Again, potentially.
Is that a father? If he wasn't a father? He's a suffix. He doesn't know. Maybe he's kind of needs some
Maybe yes, maybe not.
He's willing to play around with Chayim.
Yes.
Correct. So, forget about two potential fathers. Just a group of people. There's one guy with a stick. The Hatzra is, don't hit your father with a stick. And it just so happens that among the group, the first guy that the person hits is not his father. The second guy he hits is his father. He's just hitting them. Is that Hatzra good? The warner doesn't know who he's going to take the bat to first. There's a group of people. Is the Hatzra no good because in that moment between his swings, he didn't get the Hatzra?
I'm not sure exactly how far the distance has to be between the Hatzra and the action. But there, one of these people is his definite father in that group. So he can be warned, that man's going to get you Misa.
How is that different? How is that different from how I see? Because the warner points and says, that's your father, don't hit him. And he can't, in our situation, he can't.
Is that correct?
So which one speaks to Rebbe?
And
you don't take sides.
I don't take sides in Machlokes Tanoim, you know what I mean?
What's the difference?
Because I don't see the Tana Kama.
You agree with Avraham, and Harvey agrees with the whole the other one. Yes, he thinks it should be Azra.
I even think the Suffolk warning should be good.
That's what you're saying. You're saying the Suffolk warning should be good. He's warned. So you guys are on the opposite sides of the spectrum. It's one. That's why the Tanoim are arguing. By the way, this is derived from Sukkim. The one that says that Surah Suffolk is good enough is deriving it from Sukkim. Yes? Can somebody mute themselves, please? A lot of background noise. Yes.
The way it was stated was that you might be killing your father.
Wounding.
So, if he didn't say that word might, in other words, something that brought...
asked that question a few minutes ago. It doesn't make a difference. The fact is that it's a suffix as well.
Because it was stated as a
suffix? No, because it is a suffix.
So in other words, he doesn't say you might be hitting your father. He's saying, do not hit your father.
Yeah, but the kid knows it might not be his father.
But he knows there's two people in front of him.
True, but he knows that either one might not be his father.
But the other one...
But he's only hitting one at a time. The other one is 5 minutes later.
So it only works...
Immediately before.
And it could work on a group of people rather than...
Again, I said I don't know the exact guidelines for that.
The Warner absolutely knows who his father is.
How does he know?
Because he's one of the people accused of being his father.
Are you talking about your kids?
Well, no, he's not related. He can't be
that.
He's not related.
No, nobody either.
He knows he's not the father. He knows he's not the father. He knows he didn't have relations with the mother. Or whatever.
So why is it in Suffolk?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are we saying it's a suffix to the person?
The suffix to the kid doesn't know who his father is.
He doesn't know his father is, the Warner does.
That doesn't mean anything. The kid has to know that this is his father.
Okay, that was my question. But we've been talking about, we've been saying kind of mixing that maybe the Warner doesn't know either. He just has to put it. But this guy knows he's not the father. So he warns him.
Again, the kid doesn't know. Subtrachi, Chayim Sharecha Mem Ovid. Viko Bavasaka Shakovkum Bamako hit them with a stick Bako Akas in one shot. Chayim Vasros Vadi Hishaboy, Alpakish Noyem Shabamakas Watham is Chayim. He was swinging at both of them with one stick. Bazaka then posted the Kishta Asros. The Chokhoz of Chodha Vasros Suffolk, Tanakam Asros Suffolk Shuma Asros considered Asros, Chayim Manu Shakov Button.
What's the person?
Said a well, we're not. I don't know what the source is, but there is a source for this, not here. That's the Gemara. Where does Rashi say it's not a suffix? If he hits them both in one shot.
Right.
Okay.
One shot means one swing.
One swing.
Two swings might not.
Again, you're getting back to the question of how close it has to be.
No, it's not just close, it's just that. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Zerat Gemara Leiter. Frank the Gemara. Rebbe Tanya Rebbe Yudah, I'm a Pasa Rebbe Achas. There's another price that it says, Rebbe Yudah says, even if you hit them with one swing, you're Pasa. Why? That's a definite Hasra. Zerat the Gemara, Treta Noe, believe in Rebbe Yudah. You know, it's a Machloik, it's a great Rebbe Yudah. But we haven't explained it. But we should know there's two versions of Rebbe Yehuda. Frank the Gemara, my time in the mount of putter. But why should you be putter? If you're hitting them with one swing, you should be chayav. Dr. Gemara, Amar Rab Chanina. Nemar brocha lamata, the nemar brocha lamayla. The halacha of brocha is being used here. We call this Lashon Saginar. We don't want to say a bad word, we use a good word. It means blasphemy. Blasphemy is when somebody curses Hashem, and the curse of a father is also compared to that, right? Tyrus said, one who curses Hashem is Chayim Misa, one who curses his parents is Chayim Misa. Ma'ala ma'ala she'ein b'shutfus, just like there's only one God, and one has to curse, when one blasphemes, he curses the one God. So also, when he curses his parent, it has to be that he curses his parent by himself, not together with anybody else. The Iskish HaKol L'Klola. Now, there's no hitting Hashem, but we say just like my parents, the curse has to be to the parent by himself, the hit has to be to the parent by himself. Let me explain this. The hit has to be to, just like, let me try to explain this. Somebody blasphemes, there's only one Rabbi Nishmarlam, and that's who he's blaspheming. Whether he adds people in the curse or doesn't add people in the curse makes no difference. There's one God, and we know who the God is, and there's no doubt. So even though in the same curse he curses other people, but that doesn't place any doubt on what created the blasphemy. The blasphemy is the one God. So also, when he curses these two people, one of them is his father, since he can't identify which one is his father, there is no, it's not comparable to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. I don't know what word to use. It's not, he's definitely cursing his father, but he doesn't know which one is the father. Therefore, it's not similar to the curse of Hashem. Well, you know who Hashem is. And the same thing is true with hitting. The chiyuv only comes when he's hitting, he knows his father. If he doesn't know which one is his father, that's not similar to cursing, which is not similar to Hashem. I hope I explained myself well enough. That's what that Mandi Amar holds. Correct. Rashi, my time in the Mount of Pathim of Basakos of Adra, so you lament about Vima, the Mile Club, and Mile by Hashem, Kikal, the Club. Iskish Hakal, the Club, and Parsh, Elim, Ishbotum, Samchme, again. Hakal and Club are very interesting. The Torah wrote them together, but put a Pusik in between. There's a big machloik as you compare hitting and cursing, because it's not right next to each other. It's a Pusik in between. El Shapusik, Echad Mavsik, Meneim. Nikil Mazam, Behekashu, Behela, and Nechvokim, with the machloik. Okay. The Ayla the Mishmara. Frank the Gemara. The Chimiacher the Ein the Chaylik. Lama Ayla. If he's not getting a Chaylik, why in the world is he serving? Zuck the Gemara. Lama Ayla. Hayim Rabini the Nevin Mitzvah. Maybe he wants to serve because it's a mitzvah to serve. Right? It says he can serve in the Mishmar, but he doesn't get a Chaylik. Right? So the kasha is, if he's not getting a chelik, why is he serving? Why is he serving? It's a mitzvah to serve. It doesn't say he served. It says he has to serve. Ayla makes it sound he has to serve. Not that he voluntarily goes, but that he has to go. The question is, why does he have to go? He's not going to get anything for it. He's not in the mood. Why should he have to serve? So, therefore,
he has to serve. He has to do what he can do. Who's supposed to do the part of it? He has to do because the Torah says.
Tyre never said a client has to serve. Tyre says a client can serve.
So any members of these families without any suffix about the parentage, they're caused, they could just opt not to serve.
Well, the Gemara is going to explain in a moment that they can't. But at this point, the Gemara is saying, yes, they can opt not to serve. I'm not interested this week. I'm busy. I'm busy at home. I have my kids' chasana coming up. I have to prepare for the chasana. I'll just pass this time around.
Weren't there a certain number of duties delegated within each mishmar so that the work
could
get done?
Most kahanim would want to go serve, so the jobs got done. Question is the individual kohen. Does he have an obligation to go and serve?
Okay, where does Rabbi conclude that it's an option?
Where do you see it's not an option? Where does the Torah say to the client he has to serve?
I'm just suggesting that there's a certain amount of avodah that gets
done. It's getting done anyway.
So how do we know?
There's thousands and thousands of kahanim. You're right. If everybody decided not to come, we'd be in a big problem. But that's not what happens.
So, for example, what's in this mitzvah sukkah in your house, right?
Mitzvah sukkah is a mitzvah chiyuv, as it says by sukkah teichu.
No, but I'm sorry. I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to say is, I'll have my son do it. I'll sit back and make sure it's done.
No, because the Torah said you have to sit in the sukkah.
No, of course I'm going to sit in the sukkah. Okay, sitting in building the sukkah.
That's still. And come on, you don't have to build the sukkah.
You have to.
What?
No, no, I thought there's mitzvah also to.
Yeah, but you don't have to do it. Rashi and Marcus Abchad says there's a mitzvah to make a sukkah. You build your sukkah?
I part in it.
I had somebody put up my tzedakah.
The Rebbe doesn't do things with the tzedakah.
I used to go and put up the tzedakah. It's hard for me to.
You don't shake any of the tzedakah at all?
I shake it. I help put it back up, but you know, but
Don't tell us all your obelisks, Rebbe. No, I'm serious. No, I can't look at Rebbe's story now. Remember, you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying.
That's right, exactly. Not serving is. Where's the difference in that? And my question is, where do you see that? What should it have said? Kohanim. What does it say in the pasuk? I don't even know what it says in the pasuk, but.
You're a kohen. You should know this.
I have so many things I have to know, but the avoda. What should it have said by the kohanim, by the avoda? What should it have said? What does it say?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. The families can force him to serve, because if not, people will say this member of their family is puzzled. He's not serving because he's puzzled. So a family of the Mishmar can put pressure on all its members to show up. You're hurting us. By not showing up, people are saying a member of our family is unfit for Avodah. And therefore, we want you to come to Avodah. Rashi. I'm a suppik. I don't know. But I do know there's a machlokes. What if they don't want him to come? The Gemara here makes it sound that what if the family says, you know, you don't belong to that family, go somewhere else. They don't care about Pagam Mishmacha. Right? Gemara is saying he has no choice. They can force him. What if he wants to come and they don't want him there? We don't need you here. So it's a big machlokes. Some say they have to take him because of his pagam. And some say that they can say, you don't belong to Mishma, go to the other one. The other one can say, go to the first one. It's machlokes. But if they want him to come, he has to go because of pagam Mishmacha. Rashi.
What are you over?
Nothing. You're hurting people. You're embarrassing people. You're embarrassing your family. Rashi. However, being in the bad mitzvah, bitten you can see the law. It's a question. The time is one more. About the boy, how can he clear the heaven? About he wants to do it. Elaboyin, Haka, all the electronic, and this, all the Mishmore and the Chilet. Doesn't say if he went. It says he has to go. Bakarchid, I've got the Chilet, Kafina, Lelaboy, before some. Why? Mishim begam shtei mishpachas. Shabayshin olav, they're embarrassed. Shiyayimru b'nei adam pasul avayda. People will say, he's pasul avayda.
Then Beishin can force him, or only his own family?
I don't know how the mechanism for that is. I don't know. I don't know who actually forces him. I don't know. There is a Beishin shel kahanim, but I don't know whether every mishmar had its own bed. I don't know. My name the mishmar. If they're in the same Mishmar, so then he can be Chaylik. Now, it's a big shayla. What I'm going to say now is a machlokes, but this is the way Rashi assumes here. Every Mishmar was split into families. The Kahanim were split into 24 groups based on family. Right? And they belonged, every Kahan belonged to one of those groups, and the grouping was defined on the family. So if your great-great-great-grandfather belonged to group one, you belong to group one. And that's how it remained. Forever and ever, all the descendants were group one. So it was, they split it into 24 groups. Each group's descendants belonged to that group. However, in that group, they split it into six families, smaller families. That's called Bateyav. In the greater family, as they went along, they split it into six groups. So let's say, group number one had six kids. So each one of those six kids got a day, and all his descendants belonged to that day. How they split it into six families would depend on how they decided to split into six families. But every Bakayan only worked one day a week. The week he was supposed to come, he worked one day, from morning to the next morning. The next morning, the next group took over. Now, if they were short-handed, they would go back to the rest of the people in the Mishmar and say, come join us. He'd get an extra day. But really, every Kayan served one day every 24 weeks. That was his day. He was, this week, on Monday. And another Kayan in the same Mishmar was on Thursday. Now, the Zman Yomer says there were seven Batayav. There's one for Shabbos also. The other Man Yomer says there was only six, and that the seventh wasn't a designated family because there was much less to do on Shabbos than the rest of the week, because there was no Nedarim, Nedavis, no Chatos, no Hashamas, nothing, just Kabbalah Tzibur. Rashi works with the premise here, number six. So what Rashi, what the Gemara is bothered with, he belongs, both Kahanim, that might be his father, belong to certain Mishmar. So the Mishnah said, if they're from the same Mishmar, he gets a chelik. So the Gemara wants to know, I don't understand. One is a Monday and one is a Tuesday. The Monday group can say, maybe you belong to Tuesday. And Tuesday will say, maybe you belong to Monday, and they don't want to give him a chelik. Why are we saying if it's in the same group, he automatically gets a chelik? In the group, there's small groupings, and he might belong to two of those. We don't know which of the small groupings he belongs to.
Correct.
Buddy. Gemara. The Maishnei and the Mishmar. Maishnei Mishmar is the Lohi. Why doesn't he get a share by two Mishmaris? Does the Loha Mishmar Matchalei? Does the Loha Mishmar Matchalei? Each one can push him off. Mishmar Abaznami. Does the Loha Beisav Matchalei? Go to one Beisav and they'll push him off. Beisav is the smaller grouping. Does the Loha Beisav Matchalei? Right. The Mishnah means Maishnei Mishmar Echad, Beis Av Echad, Naito Chelik Echad. You're right. The only time he gets a Chelik is if he not only belongs to one group, but both belong to the smaller grouping. And therefore, he definitely serves on Monday. And he definitely gets a Chelik because he is a Monday Kayan of this Mishmar.
So, if both fathers are from the same Mishmar, and they're on different days.
He doesn't get a chelik.
How does he know what day to serve?
He can, both groups can make him serve. Because Pagan Mishmacha. They don't want their family, their family grouping to look bad.
But he might have to serve both days.
What?
He has to serve both days. He can serve
with Rashi. Dr. Rashi called Mishmacha look the Shicha, but the others. When they take the iris of Tuesdays, they take the meat also. But Rashi mentions the skewers, I don't know why.
If they're the same Mishmar, two different days, he does not get a chelik. Does he do a boda?
Yes, for the same reason, the Gam
Mishmar. If they're two different Mishmaros,
does he do a boda? If they can force him to do a boda, he gets nothing. There's no difference, one Mishmar, two groupings, or two Mishmaros.
They get to do the avodah, though.
If you, again, they can force him to do the avodah. Hadron lach leisen al anusa. Hadron lach leisen al anusa. Hadron lach leisen al anusa.
So there might be two different families, two different shmoros are forcing him.
Correct. Mitzvah chalitza. The next parent is going to discuss the details of chalitza, which we never did. Details of Yibum are rather simple. He lives with her. That's Yibum. Chalitza is a process. We never went through the process of chalitza. What do you have to do? How is it done? Who has to be there? This is what this parak is about. Mitzvah chalitza b'shloshet dayanim. You have to have three judges. V'afilu shloshet dayanim. But they don't have to be professional judges with smicha. They can be regular three people. Can be your dayanim for chalitza. They have to know hilchos chalitza. Because if not, how can they be the dayanim? But even some of them first want to say, they can have one rabbi teaching them what to do, and they can be the three.
How knowledgeable do they have to be?
I thought maybe when we're learning about Khalidzi, you won't ask that question, right?
Other than procedure, how knowledgeable do they have to be?
None.
The rabbi,
Jewish.
What? It's a very simple process. Yeah,
but presume. You don't know that yet. Tell me at the end of the parak. It's simple. Obviously, the Gemara spent 6 months discussing it. 5 months. 5 months discussing 6 months. And it's been 6 months discussing
it. You were there at the last place you went to. Well, you were Dayan?
You answered it 18 times.
You never answered that. Were you a Dayan?
On Amud Beis, I'll answer it. The gate of the Gemara is Amud Beis. And say whether I was a Dayan or not. Mitzvot chalitza b'shlashi dayanim afil b'shlashi dayanim. Rashi she'enan b'sanhedrin, they're not from the Sanhedrin. B'kvaravarach my dayanim. So what does it mean dayanim? Right? If it can be any three people, so why do we call them dayanim? They're not dayanim. Chalitza b'minu chalitza b'shera. Okay, now I'm not very well. Honestly, I don't really understand all these matzias and all these facts, right? But there used to be two basic shoes in those days. The minnow, the shoe, was a soft leather shoe. And the sandal was a harder leather shoe. So the Mishnah prefers the sandal. Because the sandal, in a soft leather shoe, people used to wear it even if it was torn. Because it's soft, it doesn't hurt. So therefore, if some of it was missing, some people still wore it. And that would be pasul for chalitza. So we'd rather not do chalitza with a soft leather because it might be a non-compliant soft leather for hilchos chalitza. Whereas the hard leather shoe, if it was torn a little bit, nobody wore it. And therefore, if it's being worn, it's obviously compliant with hilchos chalitza. Chalitza b'mino chalitza sechera. It's kosher because it's only the chatchila that we don't like it, but it's kosher. Bampuya, however, something made out of material, not leather, like a slipper made out of wool or linen, or today we would say out of plastic, right? Nylon, rayon, or whatever else it could be. Psula, it's not a shoe. Rashi, minu shalar rachukein shalanu. It's like our shoes, which is made out of soft leather. We're afraid of a ripped shoe. The back is missing. And people can still wear it because it's soft. Hard leather that was cooked. And once it rips, it's no way to use it. Nobody wears it, therefore, you don't have to be afraid it'll be done with an ineligible sandal. So sandal is preferable. Now today, we use a chalitza shoe. There is a chalitza shoe available. I don't know who has Rabbi Grumman's chalitza shoe. I think Rabbi Gross might have it. I have to ask him. It's a special shoe that's made to be right to all the different opinions that we'll have in the Gemara about how the shoe should work. They have a special shoe that the man puts on that the woman takes off. It's a very good question. That bothers the Rishonim even. Like if it's one size, it doesn't. How does it fit all?
A Rubik size. You get a Rubik size.
But that's not good too because it falls off. It has to be tight. But it's tied on with straps and hooks and mices and geshefters, all kinds of chumras.
Would that be a good? Remember what Rubik, I'm going to ask now, Rubik? Instead of a calendar giving out to all the people to get donated to Yeshiva, if they were to send a chalitza shoe to everybody, would that be more?
I can't figure out.
Nobody would.